We're going to be looking at Titus chapter 3. We're going to be reading the first 11 verses, but our text is found in verse 5. So the focus is verse 5. And if you're using our black pew Bibles, Titus is one of the pastoral epistles found near the end of the New Testament, page 1185. 1185 is the page that you'll find Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, we'll read the first 11 verses. Titus chapter 3, starting then at verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appears, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. And that's as far as we're reading in Titus 3. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at particularly verse 5. And our text is this: He saved us, not because of works done in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And as far as we're reading in God's Word, we pray for the blessing of God upon the preaching of that Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the gospel? If I were to speak with you after church and to say, could you tell me the gospel? Relate to me in one sentence or less. What is the gospel? What is the good news? Could you summarize the riches of the glorious good news in one sentence? Well, today you are going to hear the gospel, and you are going to hear the gospel in its most pure, simplified version. In fact, you are going to hear the gospel in three little words. Three little words that contain all of the good news. Now, if I were to ask most people in the world, what are the three most important words that you could hear? By and large, most people will say, I love you, are the three most important words that we long to hear. But I submit to you today, these three words are even more important than hearing some other person tell us that they love us. As important as that is, these words are more important, more pressing. If you have your Bibles open, you will see that in Titus 3, verses 4 through 7 are one extended sentence with various clauses. Verses 4 through 7 are like layers that when you pull them back, when you peel them, you can find a central kernel, a core truth, one main verb, and that verb is saved. If you pull back all the layers, if you peel back the different phrases, you are left with this central truth, saved. He saved us. That is that blessed truth. That is what we are learning today on this Father's Day. A blessed truth that there is a Father in heaven, a Father in heaven who loves us and is our God who saves. And even as we have just a few minutes ago celebrated the baptism of little Eileen, you will find that the manner or the way in which God saves us is through the washing and renewal which is signified here in baptism. Good news for the young and the old. A most basic truth that we can all take and embrace in our hearts. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, it's almost like we have to mine the truth, mine the riches that are there. You need to meditate upon it. You need to dig deep in order to find the riches that are here contained. Other times when you're reading the Bible, it's like the jewels, the riches are just laying in plain sight. Perhaps you've been or you've heard of the Diamond Crater Fields in Arkansas. Just precious gems lying in the wide open. That's what we have today. We're walking in the field of God's revelation and we stumble upon this gigantic gem, jewel of God's richest grace. Just lying there in plain view. So today as we walk through verse 5, we stumble upon this most precious jewel, the summary of the gospel laying in plain sight. He saved us. 3 points for 3 words, the gospel nugget of truth. He saved us. So we begin in our first point then, he. Who is this he that is performing this work? Well, the preceding verse in verse 4 says, the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior. It is this He, this good and gracious God, who is our Savior. Now, this letter, Titus, was written in the context of Crete. It was under the rule of Roman authority, but also heavily influenced by Greek logic. But we find it is not Rome, it is not Caesar, it is not the Roman armies that save, that deliver. It is not human logic or man's reasoning, or as verse 5 continues, not saved by works that we do in our righteousness. These are not the way by which we are saved. And in mythology, Crete was known for being the place where Zeus had once supposedly dwelled, and the legend of the mighty Minotaur was fabled to walk the caves underground. But these are but fables and myths. These cannot and do not save. The saving is not a product of the gods of this world, the idle fables of man's mind. Salvation is not the work of the Roman government or the church or the work of man's hand. No, salvation is completely and fully the work of God and God alone. God must act. And if God does not act, there is no salvation. There is no good news if God does not act. Now, in referring to God, our Savior, Paul is pointing to the Father, our Heavenly Father, as the fount and source of our salvation. It is the Father who in His goodness and loving kindness performs the work. It is the Father who sends, who pours out the Spirit. It is the Father who sends His Son, as verse 6 continues. Grace and peace come to us from God the Father. This begins our book in 1 verse 4. Grace and peace from God the Father. God the Father is the one who begins this work, who loves, who sets His heart, His affection on His people, who chooses some to be His own. But how does our Heavenly Father save? Well, as our verse continues, He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit are parable symbols, parallel points, the reveal that we saw just a few minutes ago in baptism, as we witnessed here today. Baptism is a sign, a symbol of what the Spirit works. The washing of renewal, regeneration, the work that the Spirit is performing within us, cleansing us, renewing us, sanctifying us, as the sign the little Eile receives, the work of the Holy Spirit, who applies the work of Christ and gives us the mind of Christ, gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. So growth and holiness and obedience as the Spirit dwells within. So the Father is washing us and renewing us by the Spirit, the same Spirit that was poured out, as verse 6 continues, through Jesus Christ. According to the Son's work and according to His prayer, pouring out the Spirit, As the Son intercedes at the Father's right hand, the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church, the Son is the one who is called, even in verse 6, our Savior. So there's a beautiful parallel that runs through these verses. There's no contradiction here. God the Father is the God who is our Savior, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. As we find in 2 verse 13 as well, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we could say the way in which the kindness, the loving kindness and mercy of God, the way in which it appears, the way in which it is revealed, manifest, made known, made visible, is in a person, in the sending of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the personified goodness and loving mercy of our God, the Savior taking on our flesh. So the Father saves us by sending His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, and the Holy Spirit to wash us, to renew us, and to give us new life. So the He of verse 5 is our triune God, our Savior. But what is God doing? Well, our God is the God who saves. You will note that in verse 5, this word, He saved, is in the past tense. In the original language, it's an aorist. An aorist verb simply means it is a past action with present and continued implications. Is a past event that is completed, but the outworking is made evident today. So our God saved us. Our God saved us. Our Father saved us when He loved us, when He chose us before the foundations of the world. Our God saved us when He sent Jesus Christ, when He chose us to be His own. And He adopted us into His family. That is how the Father saved us. And the Son saved us in the past when He laid down His life as a ransom for our sins, as He took the burden, the debt of our sins upon His shoulders, hanging on the cruel cross, dying in your place, rising on the third day, ascending into glory, and praying for us even to this day. That is how the Son saved us. And the Spirit. The Spirit being poured out richly upon the church and in those who are already Christians, the work of the Spirit in regenerating us, bringing us from darkness into light, from death into life. This is how our God saved. But it also is a present reality. The salvation for God's people is not something that is only past, but it is something which is present and continuing. So the Father, who adopted us, who chose us, continues to love us and provide for us. The Son continues to intercede for us at the Father's right hand, praying for us and pouring out His gifts and His Spirit upon us. The Son pours out His Spirit, and the Spirit renews us and works within us, the same Spirit that dwells within us to this day, making us temples of the living God. That is how our God saved and saves us. And this word salvation is such a rich, such a beautiful word that we can approach it from various directions. God is recognized as our Savior who saved. The one who saves. What is salvation? Salvation is rescue. Salvation is a young child who is walking dangerously close to the edge of the Grand Canyon, who has a loving father that runs and scoops this child up in his arms and keeps him from destruction. Rescue. It is deliverance. It is ransom. It is someone who makes a payment to liberate. It is chains being broken. That is salvation. Being set free. Because we were, as 3 verse 3 says, foolish, ignorant, led astray, slaves. But now we have wisdom. Now we have been found. No longer slaves, set free. Once on the broad path that led to destruction, now on the narrow path that leads to life. That's what salvation is. Parallel point made back in 2 verse 11, where the grace of God, our Savior, appeared, bringing salvation for all men. And again in 3 verse 4, the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appears. So who is the one who saves? Our Savior is the one who saves. What does the name Jesus mean? Children, do you remember what the name Jesus means? Remember what the angel said to Jesus' parents, to name him Jesus? Because of what his name means. He saves his people. That's who saves. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, Jesus delivers us from the wrath that is to come. He saves. But the fact remains, we need to be saved. You and I, little Eileen, we all need to be saved. All mankind needs to be saved. Because together in Adam, we have all fallen into sin. And there is only one who can save, our great God and Savior. There is no other name, as Acts says, there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. The Father ordained to save by the name of His Son. But as we come to our last point, we have to ask ourselves, who is it that is saved? So if our triune God is the one who saves, who is the us of verse 5? He saved us. Who are the recipients of this wondrous salvation? Well, brothers and sisters, our God saves sinners. That's who He saves. He saves the people of verse 3. Now, what does verse 3 have to say about you and I? Verse 3 says this, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Do you want to know who God saves? God saves the people of verse 3. People who are sinners. The us, the people who are being saved, is not a flattering thing. It is a humbling truth to acknowledge you need to be saved. I need to be saved. Our children need to be saved. We are born in sin, born dead, born in our trespasses, born bound, born blind, born dead. We need to be saved. And your only hope is in the God who saves. But more than a humbling truth, this verse is a confession of faith. He saved us. It is a communal declaration. He saves us, His people, His bride, His sheep, the church of whom I am a living member. That's who God saves. He saves those who have been placed into the hands of Jesus Christ. Those who have been saved are now heirs of the hope of eternal life, being rescued, granted the gift of everlasting life. So salvation, to be abundantly clear, salvation is something that we all need, and it is something that our God graciously gives, that He has secured for His people. We cannot let You cannot let this verse go without being able to say it, repeat it, confess it, and believe it. I ask you, can you say this word? Can you repeat this verse by faith? I'm not talking about an academic possibility, God saves people in an abstract form. Can you say this by faith? He saved me. Can you say that? Is that true of you? The God who saves has saved me? Listen again to these words of Isaiah chapter 12. We read that a few minutes ago. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and I will not be afraid. With joy, I will draw waters from the well of salvation. And you will say in that day, praise the Lord. Give thanks to his name. Call upon him, for he has done gloriously. Isaiah seamlessly weaves together the declaration of faith and the application. Those who receive, those who ponder the salvation, the saving work of our God, trust in the God who saves, and then are filled with joy and thanksgiving because they are saved. Beloved brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Have you drawn water from the wells of salvation? If you have, then the response that must flow forth is joy, praise, thanksgiving, singing songs of praise because he has saved you. We've been walking in that diamond crater field and we picked up this jewel. I mean, it is a precious jewel. Don't set that jewel back in the ground where you found it. Don't drop it. Take that jewel home. Make it your own. Don't just look at it. Don't just ponder it. And then let it slip from your hands. Take it into your heart. Don't pass by this gem. He saved us. Look to the hand of the Savior. Trust in the God who saves. Because you and I need to be saved. So I urge you this day, flee from the coming wrath. Flee from the destruction that your sins deserve, that my sins deserve. By nature, you are alien, you are a stranger, you are a hostile, you are ignorant, you are enslaved, you are hating and hated. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appears, he saved us. Trust in the Savior to do as he promises, to save his people from their sins. To conclude, on this day we have seen this precious jewel of the gospel. I can summarize the entire good news in three words. He saved us. Who is the he? Sovereign triune God. What does he do? He saves, delivers, rescues, ransoms, pardons. Who does he save? He saves his people. He saves those who trust in him, those who call upon his name. Such a simple truth that our little kindergartners can figure it out. They can memorize this verse, I assure you. By the end of the day, I bet all of you guys can understand, can memorize this verse. He saved us. Walking through the fields of God's revelation, we have stumbled upon this magnificent jewel, sitting in the wide open for all to ponder. Rejoice in this grace, kindness, and love of God our Savior, who saved us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, awe-inspiring truth. That you are God and you are our Savior, and you have delivered us and ransomed us and pardoned us from our sins, from our wickedness, setting us free. May we, O Lord, by the work of your Spirit, embrace this truth, believe in our God, you as our Savior, And may we trust in you to do as you have promised, to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.